Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? And you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the April 2nd edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be talking about the FIA, formerly E-Series, IndyCar, late model racing, and more. We have a big program set up for this evening. We've got three guests scheduled. Nelson Piquet Jr., Formula E driver who was scheduled to be on the program roughly 3 weeks ago, was supposed to be on in about 10 minutes or so. Our second guest is Jake Griffin, who made his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series debut in Martinsville last week. Our final guest of the evening is the owner of Scott Allen Motorsports, a dirt late model driver, and owner of the team, of course. I know a lot of you are looking forward to hearing him on the program, and also a lot of you are looking forward to hearing both Nelson Piquet and Jake Griffin, and I hope to bring all of them to you this evening. It's been a busy weekend in racing this past weekend. The race in Martinsville had its ups and downs. The biggest down, I suppose, was the fact that Kyle Larson had a fainting spell there during a autograph session. He has now been cleared to race for this coming weekend without much information regarding his recent fainting period. NASCAR has some secrets in ways that they other sports do as well, in the information they give out about medical conditions. So hopefully that Kyle Larson's doing well, then he'll be all set for racing again this weekend. You ready for an exciting show tonight?
I am always ready.
That's good. As I was just saying, it was a kind of an interesting weekend with the Kyle Larson deal. I didn't see very much about that, aside from the fact that he did have that fainting spell. NASCAR has cleared him to be back in the car again this coming weekend, and hopefully he's doing okay. Did you get a chance to see the IndyCar race from St. Petersburg on television out there in Washington?
No, I actually didn't watch any type of racing this weekend. I know that's horrible, but yeah.
Were you working on your race car getting ready for this coming season, or working on your new project Mitsubishi Eclipse car that you've been working on recently?
Well, this weekend we had to move my grandma to a home because she's kind of a little crazy, so we did that for a whole day, and then that was when I discovered that my head gasket was blown in my Eclipse. So that was like a 2-day project, and yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yep, it was quite interesting, I guess, but it was frustrating too, like, oh my goodness, but no. This weekend, because the first practice is actually next weekend at the racetrack, so we actually have to crack down on the cars this week.
Cool. As I said last week, I went to the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg this past weekend. It was an awesome race there. The activity they have on track is intense because it starts first thing in the morning when the gates open, the first cars get on the track. And when the gates close, at 6 p.m., that's pretty much right after the last cars have left the racetrack. So there's always something going on there. It was really neat getting to wander around the pit area and look in the paddock. The racing was awesome. The Stadium Super Truck Series was actually the most interesting of all of them. That's the one that got the people at the edge of their seats. They were screaming and yelling and jumping up and down. It was really, really pretty neat. All the A lot of action there. The last lap of the second race, they had E.J. Viso, the former IndyCar driver, was in second place, battling right next to Sheldon Creed, who had won the race on Saturday in the Truck Series. And E.J. Viso passed him with using one of the ramps as sort of to get a little bit of extra jump on him, and landed the truck inside the passenger side window of the truck, and that was intense. And they actually kept going for about two more corners before they both stopped and jiggled the cars apart.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely got the people interested. It was a sort of the pre-race thing for the IndyCar race. It was an 8-lap event, and they're amazing machines there. They're pretty much all suspension if you look at them. If you look at some of the pictures I posted on Speedway Digest or on my Facebook page, I'll probably share it on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder page as well. You'll see all the suspension is insane, the springs and everything. They're just like giant Traxxas off-road racing cars. It's pretty neat. Well, our first guest this evening is Nelson Piquet Jr. I'm still hoping, crossing my fingers, knocking on wood and all that. He started his career in South American karting and soon switched to car racing with immediate success in South American F3. A move to Europe followed, where he took top honors in the British F3 Championship in 2004. He then graduated to GP2 in 2005, finishing as runner-up in the series in 2006 after a season-long battle with Lewis Hamilton. Piquet Jr. then graduated to a race seat in Formula One for the 2008 season, alongside Fernando Alonso, where his performances, including a second-place podium in the German Grand Prix, helped the team secure fourth position in the Constructors' Championship. He continued with the team into 2009.
From 2010, Nelson began to pursue a career in the USA in NASCAR. He became the first Brazilian to win a top tier NASCAR race by visiting Victory Lane at Road America in the NASCAR Nationwide Series in 2012, and further took victories in the NASCAR Truck Series. In 2014, he took a full-time ride in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Championship, impressing with 4 podiums in his first season, and was announced for the inaugural 2014-15 season of the FIA Formula E Championship. This saw his return to single-seater competition, in which he had not competed since 2009, and he has already scored 2 podiums in 4 races.
Tonight he's supposed to be calling in from his hotel there in Long Beach, California, where they're going to have the Long Beach E-Prix this weekend. It'll be broadcast on Fox Sports on Saturday. Check your local listings for exact time and channel, because I honestly have no clue. But look forward. It was the race in Miami was intense. It was quiet, I suppose, compared to other races, but it was the on track action was pretty amazing, and I'm sure that this weekend's action will be no worse than that. And the Long Beach circuit is a storied circuit. They have racing there. They've had for a long time. The IndyCar racing, the celebrity racing. They had the IMSA racing there in the past. They have they have another IMSA race coming up there in a few weeks, in fact. So it should be quite the event there in Long Beach, California. And hopefully if you're in the West Coast there, you can take advantage of going down and seeing the cars race in the California coast. This will be the first of 2 times that Piquet will be on the program. Hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed again, that he'll be back on the program sometime the middle to end of April to talk about the Global Rallycross race taking place in downtown Fort Lauderdale. They've had some pretty interesting developments there, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about that event.
Yeah, to be honest, I've never even heard of Global Rallycross. Or is that like regular Rallycross with a fancy name?
Not exactly. It's sort of a, it's It's a lot of the courses are really short courses. They run on they've actually run in parking lots before. In Las Vegas, their race took place in the casino parking lot, which isn't really that small, I suppose, because casino parking lots are just too huge. But they can run some pretty small courses. They've got an interesting layout with jumps and that sort of thing as well. They've got a shorter lap that they have to take during the race at some point, which the name of it escapes me now, but I can ask Nelson in a few minutes. It's quite a show. It's on NBC Sports most of the time. They have it on. Not all of them are live. Some of them are on NBC itself, the network. Some of them are on the sports channel. So it's been pretty interesting so far, and it's definitely a growth thing. It's sort of along the same line as the super trucks, where it tries to get the crowd pumped up and all that. And I think that might be, in some ways, that's sort of the future of motorsports. That's a way to get the people involved, get them interested in the race, and see what the cars can do.
Well, I guess I need to start doing my homework.
Dad, or go to speedwaydigest.com and look up Global Rallycross, and you'll find at least a half dozen stories written on there, and that'll help you out too.
You know, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm going to give Nelson about 5 minutes, and then I might even try calling him myself. So, we will see. I do have his number here, and hopefully I'm not going to interrupt his dinner over there in California, and hopefully didn't get the times confused. I was worried about that a little bit earlier today, but you never know. He's the sort of guy who bounces from time zones really, really quickly, so it's easy to get that sort of stuff confused.
Yeah. Well, so while we're killing time, how is your day going?
Not too bad, actually. It's hot. It's South Florida in the springtime, 90 degrees, 100% humidity. No rain today, but it looked a little bit like it for a few minutes. So we'll see. It'll be a long, hot summer, and they're calling for the lower chance of hurricanes this year, which is a good thing. And hopefully the weather will hold out for the Nitro Jam, which is going to be at the Palm Beach International Raceway in a couple of weeks as well. I've been setting up with the IHRA to do another full 2-hour-long program about the IHRA Nitro Jam series. We've got 5 different guests so far who have agreed, in principle at least, to come on the show and talk about the Nitro Jam here at Palm Beach International Raceway. So it should be a pretty, pretty good show there. Looking forward to it. How was your little car show you had set up out there a few weeks ago?
It was, the weather wasn't really cooperating. It rained a little bit. But other than that, it was really fun. That was actually the first one I've ever taken my car to, because I don't really go to a lot of them, actually. But there was about 150 to 170 cars that showed up for it, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, they had cars ranging from the newest Mustang to, my car was the only Eclipse there, so I felt pretty, I don't know the word, but there was a lot of Hondas and a lot of Acuras, but there was some pretty nice cars there, and I think the families of those kids really enjoyed it too, so I think they raised a lot of money too, so that's good.
That is.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And coming up here in about 2 weeks will be the Bear Jackson Auto Auction at Palm Beach International, not Palm Beach International, at the South Florida Fairgrounds. And they always have some high money charity cars that they auction off out there on the first day. They make like $1 million per car. And that's the huge money shows up for that sort of thing. So I'm going to be out there for that, at least for one day, probably on the 18th. I might go out there on the 17th. I might do a little bit on the 16th. It really depends on my schedule. So look forward to reading about the Barrett Jackson Auto Auction, because that is definitely becoming a major motorsports television thing now, and it deserves to be covered just like all the other motorsports things do in the world of auto racing.
Yeah, we've actually seen it on TV a couple times. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool though, that it's in Florida. I never knew that.
Yep. Actually, last year was the first year I was able to get the behind-the-scenes access, the press access, and got to meet and spend a few minutes with Vanilla Ice, which was pretty awesome. I don't think that he'll be doing a lot of interviews for the next few weeks, of course, because he has his little legal problem with the confusion, I suppose, with the property that was next door to the one he was redoing, which he just pled, took a plea deal. He's going to be doing some community service, and hopefully he gets that straightened out. But there's always a lot of interesting people out there at the Barrett Jackson auction. Got to see Rick Hendrick. He was up there for a few days. Daryl Gwynn, the legendary Top Fuel driver, was there. There's all sorts of people who hang out there, and I think a lot of the people have the people who are probably the worst dressed are the ones who have the biggest piles of money to spend. And that's generally the way it goes. So.
Usually, I know the last one that we watched, I can't think of the car, but they have a lot of really nice cars.
Yeah, last year I got to take a test ride in, or a test drive with a Ford, the electric Ford cars. It was interesting, but it had a lot of body roll, and it was just nasty. Wouldn't be the one I want to drive, but I got to ride in the Mustang GT, driven by one of the guys from a racing school, and then I got to ride in the brand new Chevy Corvette, the one, I think it was the Z06 was the model they were showing off last year, which was driven by a guy from Bob Bondurant, the racing school there. So, I have a video of that I posted a while back. I could try and put it onto YouTube. For those of you who have subscribed to my YouTube channel recently, I thank you for that. I'll might have another listing of that on the page as well, on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page. It's called the main motorsports section. It's called Motorsports News and Views, and I've currently got like 40 videos, a little bit behind the scenes things, some interviews on there. So check it out. And with that, I think I'm going to try and call Nelson Piquet Jr. and let's see how this goes.
Hello,
Nelson. This is Adam Sinclair with Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Not too bad. You're live on the air.
Oh, good, good.
So, as it can be argued that Miami is your home track, how do you feel about the recent Formula E event on the streets of downtown Miami?
Miami was great to be racing at, you know. Obviously, I mean, it's not home, but it's home, you know. I mean, I've lived there before. I have family that lives there. I have a lot of friends. So I have a lot of connections. I mean, knowing your way around when you have a car and you don't need your GPS and your phone, I think makes you feel a little bit at home sometimes. And but it was great. I mean, it was great to see a lot of family, a lot of friends, and just, you know, it's like when I raced in Monaco for the first time. You know, I grew up a little bit of my part of my life there, and knowing all the streets and knowing all the stores around, and suddenly going around with a race car at, you know, 200 plus kilometers an hour, it's a pretty amazing feeling.
What are you most looking forward to about the Long Beach E-Prix this weekend?
I'm looking forward to a lot, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't know, but I live in America. I live in Charlotte at the moment, and I mean, I love it over here. I see myself living here a long, long time. I see myself raising my kids here in America. So it's always fun to be racing in America. And, you know, everything is always a little organized. And, you know, everybody is such a big fan of motorsports in this country. I just like it very much. And California is a great place, you know. It's not a place I would come and live just because I feel so distant from Europe and Brazil. But it's an amazing place to come for vacation and come for a few days. The weather is beautiful, the beaches. I mean, there's obviously nothing to complain about this beautiful place.
I know you've driven a wide variety of cars during your racing career. How does Formula E compare to some of the other styles of racing you've competed in?
It's pretty much very different, you know. It's obviously most of the races you're worried about just going full blast as quick as you can and trying to reach the checkered flag, you know, without worrying about nothing else but just beating everybody. In this case over here, it's very much different. You know, we have X amount of battery that we can use, and basically we have to try to do the best we can with what we have, you know. So in other words, being efficient as we can. Obviously, a lot of parts during the race, we are full blast. We are running as quick as we can, you know, running a normal race. But, you know, depending on which track you are and what kind of strategy, and depending if there's no safety card, there are a lot of, you know, times that you have to really be driving in an efficient way. And when I say that, there's a bunch of tricks that drivers do, you know, in terms of posting on the straight, using less energy, carrying less speed into certain points of the track, you know, just to try to end the race. Obviously, we have a limit to how much energy we can spend. If we go over this limit, we get disqualified straight away. So it is pretty interesting.
How do you balance your racing in the Formula E series with the your other racing in the Global Rallycross series?
It's totally different. You know, it's two different spectrums. You know, Rallycross, it's UFC, let's say, and this over here would be more like a karate, more clean style, you know, or a judo, let's say, you know. Rallycross is full blast, very short races, you know, it's really, really aggressive, you know, a lot of beats and banging, jumps, you have asphalt, you have dirt, we go through the beach, we go through everything, you know, we're like monster trucks nearly, going through any kind of, they come pavement. And I love it. I mean, I love both. I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to judge because I love every kind of racing, you know, from go-karts to I'm in love with NASCAR. Formula E, you know, I've anything I drive, stock cars, I just love it all. My passion is really to drive and be in control of all these vehicles.
You mentioned NASCAR a second ago. A couple of years ago, it looked as though you were going to be the next big NASCAR star. Do you have any plans of returning to NASCAR in the future?
Look, I mean, I'm not gonna say that I would never go back. The thing is, it's pretty hard in NASCAR. You know, I mean, obviously the drivers are very, very talented, but not only that, they grow up doing that form of racing. You know, it's a bit different in the rest of the series around the world when you go IndyCar, F1, or Formula E, where, you know, the driver, you know, he's been growing up doing a few different things, and the car changes once in a while. You know, F1, if you looked at F1 back 10 years ago, the car was very different. Things were very different. The car wasn't hybrid. The car had more power, had less downforce, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was all very different. And NASCAR, it's been practically the same tires, same kind of car. I mean, they do uplift, like a facelift, something on the front of the car, make it look nicer. The driving style is the same for the last, I would say, 20 years at least. You know, I mean, that changes small steps every year. So it's very difficult for a guy coming from Europe to compete against those drivers that have been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years. You know, you get a Kurt Busch, you know, he's been driving these cars for 20 years. You get a Jimmy Johnson, you get, you know, all these great guys. They're very, very talented, and they know what they're doing. So I love it. I love it because it's pure racing, because we race 38 weekends a year, because we're on track all the time, and that's what I'd love to do, is just be in track. But unfortunately, mixture of finding sponsors to give me the right amount of mileage to get used to those cars is very difficult. You know, it's a very expensive sport. It's very difficult for a Brazilian / European to get American sponsors, you know. As soon as you get a contact of an American sponsor, some team from NASCAR, some RCR will come and will dribble you, will come over you, and they'll steal your sponsor. So it's pretty difficult, you know, for us to get our means to cars. But, you know, don't get me wrong, I love it. I love the sports. I love the people. I made a lot of friends over there. And, I wish I could do it.
Which race would it mean more for you to win, the Daytona 500 or the Grand Prix of Monaco?
It's a very, very good question. Honestly, I thought about it a little bit, and it's been hard to give you a straight answer on that, you know. I mean, obviously, Monaco is a place where I grew up, where my father raced F1 over there, where there's a lot of history. And it's where I sort of had my eyes on since I was a small boy. But after I found NASCAR, and after I fell in love with NASCAR, and I realized how big the Daytona 500 was, that would be a big deal for me. I think if I had to get a quick answer, I would probably say Monaco GP. But don't get me wrong, I think I'm like borderline 51% 49 in this system.
Well, I think it'd be awesome to see you in victory lane in either race, but personally, I'd prefer to see you in the Daytona 500. I think you'd be a great asset to NASCAR, and it'd be awesome if they were able to work something out for you. Now, I've got my co-host, Michael Mullally, has a few questions for you, sir.
What inspired you to become a race car driver?
That's a good question, too. I mean, when I was a young kid, when all of us are young, we don't really know what we want to do. The only thing we know is what gives us pleasure to do, you know? If for one boy is to do painting, the other boy is to play with his Legos, the other one, you know, everybody has a pleasure doing different things, video games nowadays. I always had a pleasure of driving. You know, driving was a pure thing that I simply like to do. It didn't matter if it was my lawnmower, the tractor to cut the grass in my house, till, you know, driving a jet ski. Go-kart obviously was something that really, really opened my eyes to driving. But all of these things, I loved to drive. I mean, even when I have videos of mine when I was living with my mom without, and not my dad, but before I started racing. And it was pure, I mean, you know, my father gave me these little semi-electric, you know, cars to drive, and that's all I liked to do, you know, just like when I was 3 years old or something, you know, 2-3 years old. And I would drive the whole thing all the time and drive. So, honestly, I think it's something that is really in my blood that I love to drive. Obviously, when I started getting older and was racing go-karts, things got more professional, you know. You know, just my career started. That's how, you know, you start racing go-karts, and then, you know, sponsors get involved, and then it starts becoming a profession slowly. But I think I just love driving, you know. It's just a passion I have of being behind a wheel and just driving. And I think that's the reasons why, you know, like going back to what I had said before about NASCAR, NASCAR is a track so many weekends. I wish I could find a different series that was on racetrack. We had that kind of racetrack time, because that's what I love to do. I don't have a family yet. I mean, kids. I'm not married. So all I think about is driving, driving, driving.
What was your favorite part about driving in NASCAR?
You mean in terms of feeling or livery or?
Anything.
Well, I mean, I had a lot of fun in the Truck Series. You know, I think my mistake in 2013 was going to Nationwide. But the problem was that I had a big sponsor that wanted to help me in the Nationwide Series, and it was, you know, I couldn't turn it down, so I had to do it. But in the trucks, you know, I had a lot of good guys working with me. You know, I had amazing crew chief, amazing chief mechanic. I mean, we had, for me, it was nearly a dream team of all the boys together who were working, you know. And Chris Carrier, Jimmy, I mean, I love those guys, you know, and I just had a really, really good time with them. And I think I would say the Truck Series, you know, my last year of Truck Series when we won a couple of races, I had the most poles, I was the most popular driver. I think that was a very, very good year for me.
So, of all of the racing that you have done throughout the years that you have been racing, what is your greatest memory?
Sorry?
What is your greatest memory of being a race car driver?
That's another hard question. I've had several. I mean, I would say that my most recent would be winning Las Vegas NASCAR race. That was an amazing win for me. I mean, honestly, it was probably one of my best wins, you know. I think in Europe, I had a very, very good moment. He won GP in Brands Hatch in 2005, I think it was, where we won the two first ever races of the Olympics of motorsports. So I won for Brazil. That was a very special moment, too. So, I've had, you know, a couple of them, but it's difficult to say exactly what was my favorite. I mean, but I think these two, I think Vegas and Brands Hatch were pretty exciting weekends.
Since you have been racing, what would you say has been the biggest learning experience for you?
I think every year you learn. I mean, every day you learn a little bit more, you know, through everything you get, through your life, you know, through experiences and through situations. I don't know, it's difficult to say. I mean, every day we learn something else, and I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my life, you know. I've learned to never give up, always, you know, keep following my dream, and to do what I love, which is racing, never give up, because I've had a lot of rough moments in my life, you know. Maybe many people may think that, you know, I have the life of a superstar, the life of, you know, whatever, that we don't have any issues, but it doesn't matter how much money we have or wherever we live or, you know, one of the most important things for me is to be successful in what I do and to be able to do what I love and with a lot of pleasure, you know, and I've had that crushed once in my life, and it was really hard for me to stand back up and to really find myself up again, you know. It was a hard moment in my life, and I think no matter what the obstacles are in front of you, you know, I think I've learned to deal with very difficult scenarios, difficult things that happen, and every day I'm stronger. Every day I learn how to drive a bit better. I learn how to deal with difficult situations a bit better. And I think those are the main things that I've learned a lot of my career.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us this evening and wish you lots of luck this year and in the future as well. And hope to see you at the Global Rallycross event in Fort Lauderdale coming up at the in May. I think that'll be a really good race there, too.
Thank you, and I hope to see you guys soon. Take care.
Thank you very much. Once again, we'd like to thank Nelson Piquet Jr. for coming on the program this evening. That was a quite an insightful interview with arguably one of the greatest motor racers in the currently out there. And it says quite a bit about NASCAR that he's not able to find a well-funded ride with them right now. That's quite a testament to the sport, in my opinion. That's interesting. Well, it looks like our next guest is already on the line. So staying in the realm of NASCAR, our next guest tonight is NASCAR Camp World Truck Series rookie Drake Griffin. It's his second visit to the Thunderdome and takes place after his first start in NASCAR Camp World Truck Series machine at Martinsville this past weekend. At only 16 years old, and with over 300 top five finishes already, Drake knows what it takes to excel as a racer. Currently, his accomplishments include over 68 feature wins, 216 top five finishes, one regional championship, and six track championships. Drake was also crowned as Open Wheel Modified Rookie of the Year at Spoon River Speedway in Canton, Illinois. He hopes to run as many as a dozen races in the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series ranks. When not competing on pavement, Griffin again plans to return to his roots to run up tracks throughout the Midwest in his familiar Bob Pierce No. 8 Modified. With that, we are happy to once again welcome Drake Griffin to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
First off, how did the race in Martinsville go for you?
You know, it went really well. We definitely learned a lot, and we made a lot of improvements over the weekend, not only in my driving, but in the truck itself. Picked up a lot of time. During the race, I mean, we did pretty good for our expectations. I think we lived up to them. We were having a really good run. We had some issues midway through, but we overcame them, and then we ended up having a transmission issue at the end of it. But besides that, it was a really good weekend. I think, like I said, we improved a lot, and overall, it was really good.
What are your goals for the 2015 season?
You know, 2015 is already starting off big for us. Continue on with it. We want to run a few more races in the truck series, hopefully Eldora, and then maybe Martinsville again, a Gateway, something like that. And then run the dirt car a lot, like you guys said, and just have a successful year, you know, maybe grab a few wins on the dirt tracks and get some good finishes if we get to run the truck again.
I know you started the year competing on dirt at Volusia Speedway. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experience there?
Volusia is always a great track to go to. It just kicks off the year good. I mean, they have like 75 modifieds down there, and you're running with the best of the best. You know, you have a few of the NASCAR driver guys down there running on the dirt track, and it's always cool to mix it up with those guys away from NASCAR. So it's a good time. It's definitely a good experience, and you learn a lot down there.
What's your favorite track to run on?
I've been to so many. It's really hard to say. I mean, we got a few dirt tracks back here that I like. As far as asphalt, I mean, it's really hard to say that. You know, every track's so unique and so different. And, you know, I mean, they're just racetracks, you know. You love them or you hate them, you still go to them.
I know you mentioned competing with some of the big NASCAR drivers there at Volusia Speedway. Which current NASCAR stars have been the most helpful in your rise in the truck series?
You know, it's got to be Kenny Wallace. I mean, I know he's not running anymore, but he definitely has a lot of say in NASCAR, you know, how he's still doing all that Fox Sports 1 stuff and everything else. So, I mean, he's definitely helped me the most, you know. I met him at the dirt track, like I said, and we've became really good friends over the past 3 or 4 years. Got to know him really well, and he's definitely taught me the most and gave me the best advice, I'd say, of anyone. I'd say he's had the most impact.
My co-host, Michael Mullally, has a couple questions for you now.
Do you ever find it difficult trying to juggle being a teen and a phenomenal race car driver?
It's so much of being a adult and being professional at the racetrack, and you have to realize that you have to do that everywhere else, because I mean you slip up, and I mean it spreads fast. So I mean, it's just, you definitely have to take a maturity step in your life, and you can't really be as much of a teen as other people are. But I mean, all in all, I mean, you still have most of the fun everybody else does, but just a little more maturity out of it, for sure.
Oh my gosh, okay, never mind. Scratch that question. So, if you weren't already having a pretty successful career as a race car driver, what do you think you would be interested in as a career?
I'm sure I'd be around racing if I wasn't a driver. I'd like to go to college, either NTI or, you know, UNOH or something like that, to kind of, you know, learn that whole NASCAR background stuff and maybe get in that way, I'd say. But I mean, I'd definitely be around racing, that's for sure.
If you could give advice to other drivers on how to get sponsors, what would that advice be?
Definitely think or let your sponsors know that. Let them know what you can do for them. It's not all what they can do for you. It's what you can do for them. I think that's what's helped us the most on getting sponsorship. Just thinking about your sponsor before yourself, because when your sponsor's happy, you're going to be happy. So just make sure you let them know what you can do for them and how sponsoring you is going to help their business in the long run.
What is your favorite part about being a pretty big name race car driver?
I don't know if I'd call it a big name. I mean, I'm big around my hometown, you know. It's pretty cool though. I mean, I think the people that recognize you, they show you a little more respect. I mean, you know, kids my age, I mean, sometimes always don't get as much respect as the adults. But I think, you know, being a race car driver definitely, you know, draws more attention to you and, you know, like you said, gets your name out there more.
I know that I was just talking to Nelson Piquet Jr., who seemed to think that there was a little bit of a good old boys network that's still involved in NASCAR, and that made it a little bit more difficult for people like him to break into the sport. How do you feel about that? Do you think that it's still basically it's not what you know, it's who you know that makes it easier to get a good start in NASCAR racing?
You definitely have to have somebody backing you up, for sure. I mean, whether that's having family in NASCAR or sponsoring or whatever you have, you definitely have to have somebody or something backing you up to help you get in. It's definitely not all driving anymore, and that's pretty obvious. But you definitely have to have somebody behind you through it all, because it's not easy anymore.
Well, to Rich Young, again, we wish you all the best for NASCAR dreams 2015 and beyond.
Hey, thank you. Wait, hang on one second. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. All right, I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you very much for my program. We wish you luck in the future.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me on the show again.
Our final guest this evening is Dirt Late Model driver owner Scott Allen. Allen is 47 years old and will be 2000 in the late model division at Casey Raceway in Chillicothe, Ohio. He runs a sports chassis and a Dramy engine exclusively on Hoosier tires. Like many small-time racers, his racing program is entirely self-financed. He owns a small trucking company, Scott Allen Logistics LLC. He's a looking partner both large and small. This year, next, the hoping the full schedule for the model. With that in mind, he has set up a GoFundMe account at Scott Allen. That's Scottallen. He is currently in the first ever auto dirt speed week.
Hello?
No. How are you doing? You're on Speedway.
Okay, I can't hear you. You're breaking up really, really bad. Hello?
Here's that Mr. St. Clair is having technical difficulties again, so I will just take over from here until he can come back, I guess.
Okay, that'll work.
All right. Well, first of all, how is your day going, or night, I guess?
It's going pretty good. Rained here a lot today, thunderstorms, that kind of stuff. So, it's out in the garage working a lot, so.
Yeah. So you've been quite vocal on social media in your efforts to find a title sponsor for the 2015 season. Do you have any news on that front?
Not as of yet. I was hoping to announce something this evening here on the air, but we just haven't finalized it yet, and I do not want to jinx it.
So about how many races do you run annually?
Right now we run between 40 to 50 races a year. A lot of it depends on weather. Of course, here in Ohio, we get a lot of rain in the springtime. So, you know, it's kind of hit and miss for about till about June. But then June, it seems like it's smooth sailing. We're racing, you know, 2 to 3 times every weekend. This year, we're actually going to run more races because we have the addition of Ohio Speed Week for late models. And that's going to be at least, right now they have 7 races in 9 days, and they're attempting to get an 8th race on the schedule for the 9 days.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really cool.
I can't wait. I am just so stoked about it. It's not funny. I just can't wait for that week to get here.
I bet. Honestly, that sounds really awesome. Do you run on dirt or do you run on pavement?
We run on dirt.
Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling that Mr. St. Clair said that and I just missed it probably. Sorry.
Asphalt's only for getting there.
So what are some of the differences between a late model car and a street car?
Actually, there's quite a bit of difference. The way we set up the cars, I mean, your street cars basically all have the same setup in them, unless you modify them after you get a street car. Ours are full racing chassis. And in particular, we run a Schwartz chassis. And, you know, we run standard, we run a Burke transmission, which is an actual racing transmission. And we just have a lot more horsepower than what a street car does. Braking's different. We run way bigger tires than what's on a street car. And as my wife reminded me earlier, you know, as Tomato said, rear view mirrors. We don't have them, and your street car does.
That is a very good point. I know the late models, well, no, they're not really late models, but around here where I race, they build, like, Camaros and stuff. Is that kind of like what you guys do? Like, do you, like, decide kind of what type of body you want to put on your car?
No, we build our own bodies. Our bodies are aluminum. They're sheet aluminum. And then we cut them out to fit the cars. Now, they run the Camaros around here, but they're considered street stocks, you know, because they're more of a street car that you've converted to a race car. To where ours is an actual race car. But, you know, we run the bodies because we tend to tear them up quite easily.
So what is your racing goal?
I want to run Lucas Oil full time. I want to run the full schedule of Lucas Oil Racing late models. They have races in 17 different states. They have television on, you know, via tape delay. Some of the races are tape delayed on like MAV TV, NBC Sports. Naturally, they always have one. Normally, they at least have one on like CBS Sports, like on Sunday. And this year, I think it's going to be the one from Volusia County from Speed Weeks.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard a lot about that track, but I don't think I've ever actually watched a race on that track.
I've watched them because you can get, you know, like you can get pay-per-view. Like this year, we could get pay-per-view from down there. So we did not go down this year. I've been just extremely busy with both the racing and the trucking company. This business seemed to pick up a lot. You know, it's definitely my goal to go down there for Speed Weeks, you know, the Winter Nationals.
Yeah. So what is your most memorable racing moment?
I've got many. Probably, the year 2000, the first time I got my late model out on the track, I think is probably in the top three. The 2007 Hillbilly 100, that weekend we had all kinds of problems, but my family was with me that weekend, and everything didn't become magnified like it often can. That was a great weekend. That was at Tyler County Speedway down in Middleburn, West Virginia. And then probably the 2006 World Dirt Track Championship at KC. Because that's what Tony Stewart was there, and that was, he's a huge fan of mine. I'm a huge fan of his, let's put it that way. he was there, and that, you know, that was the first time that I got to have the opportunity to meet him.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. So what are some things that have shaped your career into what it is today?
Well, you know, when I was a little kid, we lived at the racetracks on the weekend, the old Dayton Speedway, Kilcare Speedway in DeGraff, Ohio. In Xenia, Ohio, rather, and then Shady Bowl Speedway over at DeGraff, Ohio. And it was just, I knew what I wanted to do at 10 years old. And what I wanted to do was race cars. I played other sports, you know, football, baseball, basketball. But, and I still love those sports, but racing is what I live for.
That is very understandable. Racing is probably the best sport there is. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, actually.
You're allowed to say it. I give you permission.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
What other types of racing have you had the luxury of participating in?
When I was younger, when I was like 16, some friends of mine, it wasn't like we were racing, we were just racing against each other, but it was on dirt bikes, and I really enjoyed that until, you know, I got thrown from the bike, and that was kind of the end of it, you know, but I follow the dirt bikes, the Monster Energy Tour. I follow them. I catch them a lot on TV. You know, outside that, I'm 6'2", so kind of like the Chili Bowl cars, you know, which I think is just awesome. I would love to go do that. I'm just a little big for those cars. So, you know, that's kind of out of the question. But if I could ever find a chassis that's big enough I could fit in, I would probably go to the Chili Bowl.
Yeah, that would be really cool. So, which type of, probably obviously dirt racing, I used to follow that a lot too, but which type of racing do you follow the most?
Well, besides dirt racing, and the Monster Energy, the motorcycles there, I would say the next one would have to be probably the sprint cars. The wing sprints, I think those are just wicked fast. I just love those.
Yeah, those are my favorite too. All right. Well, we would like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us this evening. Sorry about the technical difficulties at the beginning.
That's no problem, and I appreciate you having me on the show. And I'd just like to mention, if there's any sponsors out there, please get a hold of me that wants somebody with a huge personality and can back it up. Please get a hold of me on Twitter or Facebook and go to my GoFundMe page, Scott Allen, and please donate.
All right, everyone, you heard him. Go find him on Twitter and his Facebook page, and let's help this guy further his career. Be sure
I
to check out
Pat.
You too.
All right, thank you.
Episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you again in the Thunderdome. Have a good night.